chapter 3. I'm just kidding you. Yeah. Joshua chapter 3. Wasn't that pretty? Joshua 3. I liked all three of those hymns. Beautiful on the guitar. Joshua chapter number 3. I want to begin reading. I'm going to read a little bit tonight and just share with you a thought or two. Verse number 1, and Joshua rose up early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. It came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host. They commanded people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God and the priests of the Levites bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not anear unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye may go, must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, take up the ark of the covenant, pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant, and they went before the people. The Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know what, as I was with Moses, or that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. Thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will not without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites and Hittites and Hivites and Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passes before you into Jordan. Now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, every tribe a man. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon a heap. It came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they bare the ark were coming to Jordan, and the feast of the feet of the priests that bare the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose upon a heap very far from the city Adam, and is beside Zarethan, and those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, fell and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. And all Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. And let's continue reading just a few more verses. And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe of man, and command ye them, saying, take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones. Ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel out of every tribe of man. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan would cut off, and these stones shall be a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan. And as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the ark of the covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. And the priests which bear the ark stood in the midst of Jordan until everything was finished, and the Lord commanded Joshua to speak unto the people according to all that Moses commanded Joshua, and the people hasted and passed over. And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over, that the ark of the Lord passed over, and the priest in the presence of the people. Now skip on down, if you don't mind, in verse 22. Then let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until ye were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. Tonight I want to deal with the idea of passing over Jordan. Jordan was something that stood as an obstacle between the children of Israel and the promised land. It was something, and you know, we've taught several times, and you know the story, how that they were disobedient when they come out of Egypt. They went and they traveled for a while, and God gave them the law. God told them how to worship and all those things, and brought them to Kadesh Barnea because of the lack of faith. They went 40 years round and round and round in the wilderness. Well, that 40 years had expired at this time, and Moses had died, and now it was time to go over to the land of Canaan. They had to entrust that God would be able to take care of the battles that lied ahead for them. They had to entrust that God was able to do what he promised he would do, even though they couldn't see how it was going to happen. And so what happened was God brought them to this river of Jordan. Now, that's where I want you to see, and I want to pick up there. I want to give you a couple thoughts. Normally, the river of Jordan was about 100 feet wide from what I understood. But in harvest time, as in verse 15 of chapter 3 tells us, God brought them there in harvest time. Sometimes people wonder why that we have to go through battles. Why that we seem that we have to go through obstacles that seem so great that we just don't know how to get ourselves out of them. That's because that's when God shows up and shows himself. Sometimes what happens is we get overwhelmed or we have too much confidence in ourselves because everything that we go about doing, we do in our own strength, our own ability. And God has to bring us sometimes in our life to places like Jordan. Right now, it used to be about 100 feet wide, but in harvest time, it would get to be about a mile. It would get swollen, and it would get so wide. And so here they were at the side of Jordan and being commanded to cross over, and it just seemed impossible, an impossible task. But yet God promised Moses that he would take the children across and lead them into the land of Canaan. And so three things I want you to notice. First of all, I want you to notice the message that God gave to the children of Israel through Joshua. And of course, he was wanting the children of Israel to have confidence. You may be, as Terry was describing, some of the things that she's dealing with right now is getting overwhelming. I can understand that. Some of the rest of you have gone through, and some of you are going through, and some of you will go through some issues. We can't always understand how, but God wants to enrich our lives. To cross over Jordan is a type of going into a growth as a Christian. Learning to trust God. Learning to trust God when you can't see your way through something. And so here they were going to go and they were going to, and still yet they would have battles over there, as you've heard me talk before, in the land of Canaan. They would have battles because it wasn't, Canaan was not heaven, even though sometimes we use it as a type of heaven. In the Bible, Canaan was a type of victorious life as a Christian. You'll have battles, but God will help you through with the battles. If you'll trust Him, He'll fight the battles for you. And even though those battles seem overwhelming, God has a way of defeating those enemies if you just trust in Him. Well, now notice, if you would, the challenge that He gave to the children of Israel. They were to cross over Jordan. Now, when they would do that, there was a certain way that He wanted them to do it. And so, if you're going through a battle, and you're going through issues of your life that you need to grow and trust, and you need to grow in your Christian life, or maybe you're facing something that's overwhelming like Jordan was, you need to take this advice, and you need to do the same thing Israel did. First of all, notice that the Bible, God uses the Ark of the Covenant. Now, you all are familiar with the Ark of the Covenant. It was a piece of furniture that was in the Holy of Holies. It represented the power and presence of God. And so what he told Joshua to do is this. He said, now when it's time, what I want is I want the priests to carry the Ark of the Covenant, and therefore I want them to go and step into the water. And when they step into the water, then I'll dry it up and let them go across. Now, the important thing to understand out of this is, first of all, the fact that that ark was a presence of God. When that ark moved, the people had to move. When the ark stopped, the people had to stop. So the first thing you have to do is you have to look to God to get the direction that He wants you to go in your life. Sometimes what we do is we run headlong into something and we're not looking to God. The Bible says, look unto me, for I am God and there is none else. The Bible says that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount upon wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. But we have to look upon God. If you're not looking to God and you're facing some battle in your life and you're not watching and seeing what God's doing, what you'll do is you'll get your eyes upon Jordan and it'll be overwhelming. You have to look and you have to trust God. Not only that, but notice here, as they did as the ark left, the children of Israel was to follow it. In other words, they were to be following God. And can I tell you this? If you're facing something or you're wanting to know what God wants you to do in your life, if you're not following God, I can give you a quick answer. You will not discover what God wants you to do in your life. You have to be following God. And so therefore, He wants you to follow God, and He wants you to follow Him. And so the command of the message that God gave to Joshua was, when the people see the priest get up and leave with the ark, they are to follow the ark. But also He prohibited them from going too close. The reason why is twofold. One is they had to watch and they had to see where the ark was going. In other words, let God lead them, not them lead God. So many times we come to something in our life and this is what we want, and so therefore we're going to do it and we just hope God comes along for the ride. That's not the way God operates. And can I say this? I am so sick in the day in which we live. There are some phrases that if you use, I would encourage you to quit. The man upstairs, he is not a man and he is not upstairs. He is Almighty God. And what you need to understand is that when he's up there or some being up there or something like that, you refer to him as God. Now look here. The reason why they were to follow afar off is to reverence God and honor him. Can I tell you this? If you're going through something in your life, God wants you to follow him, but you have to reverence him as God. If you have no reverence and respect for God, you'll never be able to discover grow as a Christian. You'll never be able to conquer those things that lies ahead. And what you'll end up doing is every battle that you face in life, you will be defeated in. Because you've got to reverence God. Amen. You've got to trust God and you've got to honor God. As a matter of fact, you know how God declared his glory, because what he wants is this. When you accomplish something in your life, spiritual-wise, when you accomplish something, He does not want you to look at yourself and pat yourself on the back and say, look what I've done. He wants you to look at God and give him praise and honor and glory. When, because he is jealous of that. That's why if you got too close to God and you wasn't honoring God by keeping a distance, only the Levites were allowed to carry it. And so if you got too close, you know what happened when you got too close to the ark? He'd kill you. Because he's jealous of his glory. And so therefore he wants you honored. Now not only that, but also notice if you would in verse 5. He told them in verse chapter 3, he told them that they were to sanctify themselves. In other words, if they were going to be following God and they were going to be searching for God to get them through their Jordan that they were facing, they had to clean themselves up. If you're facing something, what you need to do is you need to sanctify. Sanctify means that you present yourself holy. You set yourself apart. In other words, if there's some things in that life standing between you and God, you need to step aside and get those things out. Not only that, but also notice in verses 9 through 11 there, that they had to have their commitment to God. In other words, they had to cross over, and what they had to do was they had to trust God. There was no way that they could cross over. There's no way they could face what they were facing unless God did it for them. And so therefore, what they did was they had to just come and completely commit themselves unto God. You know, Chris made reference there to that church, her home church, and where I accepted call to preach. And I'll never forget when I surrendered. I was at a point in my life, and I said, God, there's no way I can do this. But what I had to do was I had to commit to him. And because he spoke to my heart that night, and I know what he told me in my heart, he told me, he said, none can without me. And I said, well, God, I'm going to depend upon you. And I just trust you. And so therefore, he required the same thing. You know, he promises us many things. And he promises he'll take care of us, never leave us nor forsake us, provide these things if we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All those promises that we have, we have to trust God in those processes. Now, not only that, but the problem was, if you look back, the problem was, had a big swollen river, had about 2 million or over people to get across. Can you imagine what a problem that was? They had no bridge. No boat was going to work. They had no boats. They didn't have time to do anything. They just had to trust God. And so therefore, it was something that was insurmountable to them, but not to God. You see, God is still the same God that he always was.
Amen.
He can still do the things. And you know, in Psalms chapter 78, David writes, can he provide meat in the wilderness? Could he provide water in the desert? God can. Can he provide your needs? Can he get you through what you're going through? But what you have to understand is you have to look at the same way that Israel was looking. Now notice here that God had a plan. This plan is always true with God. What were they to do? Well, he told Joshua, he said, this is what I want you to do. I want you to have a priest, and I want you to carry them to carry the ark. And what was the priest to do? What were they to do? Did you notice? Huh? They had to get into the water. Now, here was this raging water, and here God wanted them to step into the water. Somebody said, well, why didn't they just stand out there and God do it on dry ground? Because stepping into water is an act of faith. In other words, he was testing their faith. And can I tell you something? God will always test your faith when he's wanting you to grow from something. He will give you a challenge, and he will ask you to do something that you think you cannot do. You know, it's just like Caleb with you playing that guitar. I remember probably a year or two ago, we couldn't got you in front of church to do something like that for the world, probably. And you know, over time, and that's such a blessing to have that gift, and that's a blessing. And when I see them get up and sing, and I see different ones do things, and I see them challenge themselves, that's a blessing. And you know, I was thinking, you don't mind me picking Hope, Faith, you and Isabel don't mind me picking on you all a little bit, do you? You know, I was thinking during convention, you all, I got up with your sister and sung, and I've used your sister singing, but I was so proud of you all. I mean, you stepped up there and you had grown, and when I first met you, you seemed a little shy, and boy, y'all just blossomed. And I was so proud of you. I cannot tell you how proud I was. And different ones I had challenged. But you know what? You have to challenge yourself. What God wants you to do. And somebody said, well, I'm afraid I'll make mistakes. And you know, Brady, same way with you. I appreciate you playing the piano the other day when Brother Sisson was here. Brother Porter couldn't be here. And I appreciate you getting up. And you know, I don't know whether you knew or not. Brady got up and played the piano. That was a blessing. And somebody said, well, I'm afraid of making mistakes. You always are challenged at making mistakes. But what you have to do is you have to step into the water. If God's going to do something with your life, you've got to step into the water. He'll ask you to step into the water. He'll ask you to be in a place that's uncomfortable and a place that you're not very comfortable being and a place that scares you to death. The priests were told, I mean, here, this was not just some water. You ever see a river raging down through there? Well, when the banks of the Jordan got overflowed, I mean, it went from 100 feet to a mile wide. A mile is 5,200 and how many feet? I was talking to some of the math people over there, see if they remembered. I cannot tell you how many times I answered this question. Brother Billy, how many feet's in a mile? 5,280. But now notice this, from 100 to 5,280. This river was flowing. It was a scary sight. And you know what God said? Step into it. And if you want me, if you want to see me move, and you want me to do something in your life, then you've got to step into the water. If you don't have enough confidence and faith in me to step into the water, you'll never see me act. Some people says, well, Lord, I want you to do this, and when I see you do it, then I'll believe it. That's not the way God works. God wants you to believe it before you can see it. Then once you believe it, then you see it. You see the hand of God work after you believe and after you trust. That's what faith is all about. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. And so you have not seen it yet, and you believe that God's able to do it. And so what he'll do is he'll always, when you face the Jordan, he'll always ask you to step by faith and get in a position where you're not comfortable in trusting him. And sometimes that's completely giving up on your own abilities that you've entrusted in yourself for so long. And by the way, the Bible talks about the city of Adam and so forth. The city of Adam was like 20 miles up there above north of where they were at. I mean, it was a wide, wide river. There's no way they could cross it. Now, also notice this, last but not least, he wanted to do two things. He said, now, when you come across, he said, I want you, Joshua, get a man, one man from every tribe. There's 12 tribes. And he said, I want you, when you go across, I want you, when you get to where the priest, because the priest was to go, and they were to walk over into the middle. And when they got in the middle of Jordan, they would stand there with the ark. The presence and power of God was going to protect them when they went through. And of course, when they stepped into the water and they acted by faith, the Bible says that the waters stood a wall, heaped up. And so the waters heaped up just like they did in the Red Sea. And God was proving to the children of Israel that Joshua was an instrument in his hand just like Moses was. And so when the waters swelled up and the people began to cross over, the priest was to go into the middle and they were to stand there. And so what was happening is these 12 men that was appointed, when they come through here, they were to reach down and get a stone, put on their shoulder. They were to carry that stone out on the west side of Jordan as they enter into Canaan. And when they camped that night, they were to pile those 12 stones up. Now those 12 stones was for a reason. They were to be put there. And God said, the reason why I want you to put them there is every time that your children sees those stones, they will ask you, why are those stones there? Then you take and you tell them what God's done for you in your life. In other words, what God wants is he wants to see, he wants to get glory out of your life. And when he has done something for you, he wants you to tell other people what he's done and give him the glory for it. Amen. In other words, he doesn't want you to to praise yourself. He wants you to get glory. And so what they did was they put 12 stones over there. And so every time somebody was going to pass by there again, they would be told the story of how God heaped the water up and let them come across on dry land. And what a wonderful, mighty God he was. And so what God wants us to do is, when we act by faith, he wants us to give him glory, and not only to ourselves, but our children and our grandchildren and future generations, tell them how great God has been. Amen. Now, but there was one more thing he did. He also commanded them that the priest was to take, and they were to put stones, 12 stones, right in the middle of the Jordan River. Now, and the Bible says that they're still there until this day. So where they went across, they put the 12 stones, or at least it was there whenever the Bible was written, because it says it was there until that day. And so those stones were to be put there. Now, why in the world? And what they would do is they put those 12 stones in the middle there where the priest was, and then they exited and they come on out the other side. And when they come out the other side, the Jordan River come back together, and those stones was covered, and nobody ever saw those stones. Why did God want those stones put in the center of the river? Those stones represented the faithfulness of the children of Israel. And what God, and see, the only thing matters is what God sees in you. Nobody else sees it, but God sees it. God knows their faith, and every time that God looked, he knew those stones were down there and that the children of Israel exercised faith in him. And the only one that was important to know that they had their faith in God was God. And so therefore it was visible to him, nobody else. The only thing important for everybody else to know is God got the glory for what he had done. And so it was not to the praise of the children of Israel, it was to the praise of God. And see, you, when you go through these times in your life, you will see, and you know yourself how God brought you about exercising faith, and you know that you grew and you got something from God, but nobody else will ever understand. But you know God knows. And you know that when he knows, that when you trusted him, he delivered you from something that you was unable to do for yourself. And so therefore, the only thing that he wants out of you, visible to everybody else, is tell everybody else what he's done. And let them see what he's done. Yes, and always record what he's done. And he'll honor. And he knows what you did. And even though other people may never know what God asked you to do, he knows. And when you followed him and trusted him, then he has allowed you to face, and not only that, but to conquer and cross and be able to deal with that Jordan that you face, regardless of what it may be. And it can come in a lot of different colors and shapes and sizes. But what God wants is he's not changed. He wants the glory. He wants you to exercise faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. He wants you to step out. You say, well, I'm in a status quo. This is where I've been for the last 10 years. That's not what God wants out of you. Amen. He wants you to challenge, to be challenged, to follow him and to step into the water and do things that's uncomfortable. And then he
Zacchaeus, make sure that that's where he's leading you. And then he will bless you. Amen. Amen. Let's stand tonight if you would. Maybe tonight you're facing that Jordan yourself. Maybe you're dealing with those issues in your life and you just need to come and say, Lord, I need your help. Help me, Lord, to have faith, to trust. Show me what you want to do. Show me where you're going and let me follow you. Let me honor you. However God may lead you, would you just come?